When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we've flipped the calendar to March. Finally, the now Cactus League gets into the portion of the schedule where it's just a grind every day, and you're just looking ahead and looking forward to that the end of the month when the games count for real and you get going with opening day. But as far as yesterday goes, the Guardians went up to Tempe and got a nice outing from one of the guys they're depending on in the starting rotation this year, in Gavin Williams.
Yeah, Gavin was really the first guy from last year's rotation to make a Cactus League start, Joe. He pitched two scoreless and did a really nice job. Four strikeouts, threw a called third strike past Mike Trout. The only base runner he allowed was Rendon to start the second inning, but really pretty dominant stuff, dominant appearance. He looked, you can't have much as far as a first start in the Cactus League. You couldn't ask for much more.
Now, a lot of times a young guy like Gavin, who, just got his feet wet really at the major league level, last season comes into his first real big league spring training and his first real Cactus League start, actually the first time we've seen him out there in a major league exhibition game like that. You think that a guy in his position wouldn't be trying to do too much tinkering in the off season or changing or messing with his mechanics or anything like that, just more refining what he has. But Gavin said after the game that there were some things that he's been working on in terms of his windup.
Yeah, he's made a few tweaks. Pitchers are crazy, I think. Pitchers are never satisfied with where they're at. They're always tinkering with something. Remember a couple of years ago when Aaron Civale, coming off maybe his best year in the big leagues, changed his entire delivery. Over the off season, and I guess it worked for him, but does a hitter do that? I don't think so. I mean, does any other guy in his walk of life change his whole routine, his whole makeup to in his job, and then just show up the next year and look completely different? I don't know, but I'm sure the changes he made, Joe, it sounds like they're minor. I don't know if they were suggested by the Guardians and their pitching group, or they came from, they came from Gavin himself. I'm sure it was probably a combination of both. It sounds like he's trying to get a little more velo, trying to get to his backside more. It didn't look like anything major. I mean, he wasn't throwing left-handed, he was still, he's still a right-hander, Joe.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that that switch that Aaron Civale made, from during one offseason in the past, that, it was noticeable. There was a noticeable difference in that delivery. And really what a lot of these guys are going to nowadays to try and get a little bit more velo, a little bit, a more repeatable delivery is by simplifying things and really – It wasn't really noticeable with Gavin, but if he just maybe cut down a little bit some particular movements in his windup, then I could see he said he wanted to maintain velocity throughout the game, and that whatever change he's making to that windup is going to help him do that. So if that means that he's still throwing mid to upper 90s in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning, That can only be a good thing as long as he can, endure it physically and it doesn't lead to any sort of, injury concerns. He also said working with David Fry behind the plate. Now, we've talked about David Fry focusing on catching and focusing on the craft of catching here in this spring training. He said David Fry, where Fry was setting up on the plate was helping him because he had been missing to his arm side. And Fry's little adjustments that he was making throughout those 2 innings were helpful. So that's a good sign from David Fry behind the plate.
Yeah, it's a sign of growth, a sign of good communication between pitcher and catcher. And it sounds like Fry was setting up more, a little bit closer to the to right-handed hitters. So Williams wasn't missing as much, or at least he could, maybe Fry could steal a few strikes, frame a few strikes, in a more appropriate fashion. So an interesting conversation, definitely. And it sounds like Fry is, making big strides. I know manager Stephen Vogt really complimented him for his work against I believe the Padres on Monday when he caught there. And Joe, I just wonder, if Fry, concentrating solely as a catcher, is that a one-way ticket for him to Columbus? As opposed to him being that versatile guy that we saw last year that kind of played all over the diamond.
Yeah, and the way Stephen Vogt talked about it, he said, "Hey, it's such a big responsibility, and it's such a there's so many moving parts with learning and growing behind the plate there." I think they have a lot of faith that David Fry can, just throw the glove out there, and if they need him to go to first base, during a game, he can do that. If they need him to go out into right field, they can live with whatever results they have out there. But yeah, I don't know if it targets him for directly to Columbus or not, but I think there is a spot for him on this roster as a third catcher. If they decide to go in that direction, it's just really hard because you're paying Austin Hedges $4 million. You're going to have him catch some games and live with his offense. So they're going to do that. One more thing about Gavin Williams, he did say. He did tell reporters after the game that he wants to throw more off-speed pitches in all counts, and obviously that's something that all young pitchers are getting used to and comfortable with. But he wants to get comfortable with that and do that throughout the whole year, not just abandon that philosophy or that strategy of throwing more of his off-speed pitches in whatever count to get strikeouts. So. It's good to see that the gears are turning and the strategies are being formulated now in spring training for Gavin Williams. Just a really encouraging outing, and the number one thing is he came through completely fine and healthy, and that's what the Guardians need from him.
Yeah, Joe, and I think with young starters, especially a guy like Gavin Williams, what he's 6'5", about 240, it's easy to fall in love with his fastball. And it's easy, and when it's working, it's easy to stick with it. But if you're going to be, mature as a pitcher and grow as a pitcher, you have to throw all your pitches, because eventually hitters in the big leagues are going to catch up with heat. So, that was a good, that was encouraging for him to say.
Yeah. All right. As far as updates on the offensive side of the ball, not a lot to talk about there. Will Brennan, one of the only real regulars to play in the game yesterday, did get an RBI triple in four at bats, a rarity there for a starter to get four at bats in a spring training game. What did you see offensively as the different positions out there are competing for spots?
Yeah, Joe, there wasn't, like you said, there wasn't much going on offensively. The Guardians sent over the shock troops to Tempe. There wasn't, like you said, Brennan was the only, really kind of regular, Brennan and Fry. And they ended up with four hits. They were held scoreless until the ninth inning when Schumann,
Daniel
Schmemann, I
Schmemann.
should, J
Yeah.
Daniel Schmemann doubled and Brennan tripled him home. And you know, so it wasn't, there wasn't a whole lot to write home about offensively. I mean, Tyler Freeman had a hit, Planez had a hit. What? How do you say his first name?
Alexfree Planez.
Yeah, Alexfree Planez had a hit. He's swung the bat good, mm-hmm. well in spring training. Whenever he's gotten a chance, Joe, he's got a couple hits. He's made really good contact. I don't know where he plays, but he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, he's right now he's designated as an outfielder. 6'2", 180 pounds, only 22 years old. He's 3-for-5 so far. With three runs driven in this year. This is a guy who, you know, could be, you know, Akron or Columbus to start out and really be a guy to keep an eye on as far as an outfielder goes, you know, born in Venezuela. So another one of those, you know, young Venezuelan outfielders that the Guardians can keep an eye on throughout the camp and the beginning of the regular season. As far as Kyle Manzardo, Chase DeLauder, they both got a chance. DeLauder actually got a chance to start in the game in left field. Manzardo came in later in the game, had an at bat and struck out. Both of those guys sort of progressing, you know, as the marquee guys in camp that, you know, we try to keep an eye on in terms of prospects. Anybody else really stand out? I guess Esteban Florial had three at-bats there in center field. We'll get into a little bit more about him in a minute.
Yeah, Florial went 0-for-3. Let's see, Fry went 0-for-2. Rocchio, I believe, was 0-for-3. You know, John Kenzie Noel, they keep running this guy out there. They're giving him a chance. He's still hitless, looking for his first hit this spring. But, you know, our manager, Stephen Vogt, you know, keeps saying he's having good at bats. I'm sure he's anxious. Joe, he knows he's got a chance here, that he's getting a chance he hasn't had in the last couple years of being in big league camp, that he's getting a chance to play. So we'll see how that goes. You know, DeLauder, you know, walked and grounded out. He made a nice effort to catch a ball in the gap in left center field. The ball, bounced out of his glove. It was originally ruled an error. Then it was ruled a hit by Brandon Drury in the fourth inning. So yeah, it was kind of just a quiet game. The headline from that game was the way Gavin Williams pitched.
Right. I want to remind our listeners, if you're logged on here, you can join our subtext community, Guardian Subtext, for $3.99 a month. It gets you text updates to your phone from Hoynes and from me throughout the season. You can join by going to cleveland.com/subtext or by sending a text message to 216-208-4346. I'd love to have you as part of our Guardian Subtext community. Hoynesy, want to talk about the battle in center field right now. We mentioned Esteban Florial, hitless in three at-bats yesterday. Miles Straw was not with the club, sidelined with an illness. Stephen Vogt said he'll be away until he's feeling better. As far as what we've seen so far in that center field competition, right now is when Florial should be trying to step forward, because with Straw sidelined, this is an opportunity for him to get out there and you know, show him what he can do.
Yeah, and Florial started slow. I don't think I think he has a walk, he has a stolen base, he scored a run, but that's about it, Joe. Really haven't seen him. Hasn't really been tested in center field. You know, when I was out in Goodyear, I watched him during BP in the live BP sessions. He has some swing and miss in his game, but you know, he's got some power too, as we saw last season when he hit 28 home runs at AAA for the Yankees last year. So he's got some pop. He's a bigger guy than you think, and he speaks three languages, Joe. So he's a fun guy to talk to. So I mean, you know, I can only speak one.
Really? Which one? Yeah, I was gonna say, which ones do you speak, Hoynesy? But English, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, he speaks Spanish, Creole, and English, and so he's an interesting guy. And So, but he's just getting started in spring training. I don't think we can draw any real conclusions yet.
How does Miles Straw being sick and being away from the club then, impact his, sort of position? Or does it? I mean, I got to believe that when Stephen Vogt goes to fill out that lineup card, that he's got to give strong consideration to Straw as the starting center fielder based on just track record over Florio right now.
Yeah, Straw had a really interesting offseason. He said he worked harder than he ever has. He went to see the hitting coach, Chris Valleca, in Columbus. He gained 10 pounds. He feels like he's at a good weight. He's stronger than he's ever been. It's unfortunate he's sick right now. He's away from the complex for a couple days. But he started well in the first three games, Joe. He was hitting .333. He made a great catch in center field. So he's playing. I think he's motivated right now. He told me that he feels like it's almost like he has to make the club again. He's on a multi-year deal, and I think sometimes guys get lulled into a false sense of security in that. But he's ready to compete for the job. So it's just unfortunate that he got sick, but hopefully it's just, kind of a minor setback, and we can really see what Florio and Starr are capable of, for the remainder of the Cactus League season.
Yeah, and a guy like Miles Straw doesn't want to be the fourth outfielder. He doesn't want to be a late-inning defensive substitute or replacement. He wants to be a guy that is in the starting lineup every day and is impacting the lineup and the Guardians' ability to score runs. It just hasn't been that way over the last, maybe season and a half of production wise. So, whatever changes he needed to make in the offseason, you're hoping that motivates him a little bit, and, certainly bringing in Florio motivates him a little to go out there and perform. It should be fun. I mean, if you're getting the best of Miles Straw, you're getting an elite defensive center fielder. That's no questions about that. But I think what we saw from him when he first arrived in Cleveland was a guy who could put the bat on the ball and had a good command of the strike zone and, wasn't chasing pitches out of the zone and making mistakes early in counts. Now this is a guy who needs to be a little bit more aggressive. I think he got a little gun shy, and he needs to go out there and prove that he can impact the baseball certainly a lot more than he has in the last couple of years, because you've got a guy you're competing with who's got a track record of 28 home runs at the Triple A level. This is a guy who, by all accounts, Florio is very toolsy, can run the bases well. Has a good arm out in center field. You've got to, if it's a matter of, Straw's defense isn't going to erase, a guy who could change a game with one swing of the bat, you're going to want to put a productive Florio out there if Straw is the same as he has been the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I think one part of Straw's game that he's gotten away from is speed. At times last season, he seemed reluctant to run when he did get on base. And he told me no stop signs this year. He's going. So we'll see. But I know the Guardians wanted him to run a little more than he did last season. He's stealing bases is a big part of his game. So I think, like you said, Joe, his whole game looked a little tentative the last 2 years, and hopefully, he gets off to a good start, and he's just a little more aggressive at the plate, because like you said, he's a Gold Glove center fielder, but he's got to be able to contribute somewhat offensively to this team.
As far as the starting pitching goes ahead for the next couple of days, Carrasco goes tonight against the Dodgers, and then Shane Bieber takes the mound on Saturday for his first Cactus League start of the season. What can we expect from Carrasco and Bieber in the next 2 days?
Yeah, Carrasco, this is going to be interesting, Joe. His second Cactus League start. And when they signed him, everyone was thinking, okay, it's a great story, feel good story. But where does Carlos fit? You know, if he's always been a starter most of his career, and you know, the Guardians rotation is, if everyone is healthy, is set with Bieber, McKenzie, Logan Allen, Bibee, yeah, and Williams. And so where does he fit? So, you know, as camp goes along, all of a sudden, you know, James Karinchak is hurt in the bullpen. Then Trevor Stephan goes down. So you've got two openings, maybe three in the bullpen right now. So I would think, you know, really, if Carrasco was wondering how he fits on this club, there's the opportunity now to, you know, open the season with this team, with being one of those swing guys, you know, a guy that can, you know, relieve, start, spot start. And he's got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a real opportunity here now, a real path for him to be on the opening day roster, as long as he stays healthy, as long as, you know, he proves that, you know, he's in the right spot, you know, physically, and his ability to get major league hitters is still there. I got to believe that, you know, with Trevor Stephan's injury news, that it opens up that opportunity, not just for Carrasco, but for, you know, a guy like a Ben Lively, who's got a major league contract, but you know, there was a question where he fits on the makeup of the roster. So, you know, we'll see, depending on, you know, who Stephen Vogt wants to keep stretched out, who he, you know, wants to, you know, target for the bullpen, or as a depth guy in terms of the rotation. We could see it a number of different ways. And you know, certainly Carrasco's performance in this this upcoming Cactus League start is an important step in that. All right, Hoynsey, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll check in again with you on Monday after a full weekend of games out in Arizona. We'll be following those games and get into another week of Cactus League play starting Monday.
Good deal, Joe.